Welcome to Kairos Church, where we encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. We're so glad you're here. Join us each week as we dive into God's Word and explore what it means to live a life of faithful worship, devoted discipleship, authentic community, and intentional mission. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you in person. Our service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You're welcome here anytime. Hope you enjoy the service.
Well, as our hello, there we go. Thanks, Garrett. I just have to let you know that Miriam coming up early was one of my favorite all-time moments in worship. Beyond that, and more seriously, one of my favorite things in worship and ministry is not just the welcoming of new members, but really the entire process from someone coming from the first time, whether they come for weeks, months. We've had people come for years before joining, but then ultimately taking that next step, becoming and welcoming in to the Kairos community. And I can't remember, Miriam already mentioned it, but we will have our next Discovering Kairos on April the 27th, and we'll begin promoting that. And for the next set of people, maybe there's someone right now sitting here in this room who is going, maybe I want to take that next step. Maybe your middle schooler has been dragging you on Sunday mornings, and you're finding this to be a good fit. But I love new member introductions, and I love all six of the families that we introduce. But there is one family and one person in particular that I'm really excited about, and Miriam already mentioned it is with Davis Marshall. And Davis and I got breakfast a couple weeks back. I've known him, well, really since his entire life. And Tigger and I and a couple other guys here, we belong to a hunt club that we started like 15 years ago, and we started with the idea and the vision that we would ultimately start taking our kids down there. And typically in the spring, right now in March, is like when the weather starts warming up, is when we would take kids and what we would call the woods party. And I think there's a picture there, and you can see little Davis in his camouflage, little towhead there. And what's exciting about that picture is to see those kids as they get older and to see how they embrace their own faith and their own life with Jesus. And now Davis, as he gets ready to graduate from Kairos, graduate from high school and go on to Georgia Tech, for us to know that we play a small part in his faith development. So really excited about all these families joining our church. Well, today is the third Sunday of Lent, and we are in the third Sunday of our sermon series from Wilderness to Glory, as we take a look at Jesus's life and his ministry leading up to his eventual crucifixion. And today we are going to take a look at the Paternoster. Anybody know, can define what Paternoster is? No, Walter, you don't get to answer. Of course, Walter raised his hand. Well, it is a formula repeated as a prayer or a magic formula or charm. Hence, you can see Harry Potter. But rather than going forward with the angle of developing magic spells, we will embrace the prayer angle. And most specifically, the Paternoster is typically referring to the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that is pointed to as the framework and the model and the pattern for all prayer. Timothy Keller writes, "The Lord's Prayer may be the single set of words spoken more often than any other in the history of the world. Jesus Christ gave it to us as the key to unlock all the riches of prayer." And I love that last bit, the riches of prayer, that we would engage a prayer life almost as if we are seeking this deep hidden treasure, waiting for it to be revealed to us, something valuable and important. Well, one of the things that I get to do in my pastoral role here on staff is I get to have lunch with people, often with the men of our church. And within the first couple of years, I had a lunch with a gentleman named Peter Langham. Some of you know that name. Actually, Peter literally with his own two hands built and constructed the lectern from which we preach from. And we were having a lunch together, a very, very normal conversation. But at one moment, he gets kind of serious. And he says, Joe, we need to, in worship, regularly recite the Lord's Prayer. It is full of power, and our kids need to be exposed to it. And from that conversation, and for the last 6, 7, 8 years since having that lunch with Peter at Kairos, we have recited the Lord's Prayer at least once a month. And typically, we do it on the second Sunday, if anybody has noticed that pattern. And so I think Peter would stand back and be happy with that happening in our church, exposing not only our kids, but really all of us to these powerful words. The Lord's Prayer is found right in the middle of Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. So we have the most famous sermon ever preached, and then within it, right smack dab in the middle of it, is the most important prayer ever expressed, ever taught to us. But before we get into the prayer and we read our passage this morning, I want to just simply remind us of a little bit of context. You see, before the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is baptized, this really incredible moment where he's baptized. The Lord says, this is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. And then instantly, Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting, where at the very end, he has his three dramatic temptations that Lindsay kicked off the series with a couple weeks ago. And then after this, after the 40 days in the wilderness, after the temptation, we really see this as the launching of Jesus into both his healing and his teaching ministry. And so with that, let's read the passage. I'll read it for us. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 1 because it gets some good context and then skip along to verse 5 through 15. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the doors, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. And I would like you just to listen to it at this moment. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then Jesus goes on in verse 14. He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The actual prayer Jesus teaches is very familiar to us, this Lord's Prayer we just read. Many of us can recite it on cue from memory, but the instruction Jesus gives leading up to the prayer are also important for us to take a look at. Jesus is not only teaching us how to pray, but he is also warning us how not to pray or what to avoid doing in our prayers, as if he is saying, don't try to impress people with your long prayers full of fancy words that nobody understands or pays attention to. Stop trying to show off how spiritual and pious and important you think you are. Don't put on an act. Stop being fake. Don't be a hypocrite. But rather, be authentic. Don't draw attention to yourself. Let your prayers point to the kingdom, the power, and to the glory of God. That should be your form of prayer. My freshman year of college, I went to a Christian school, and as a part of that, we had a weekly chapel where we had to go every Tuesday and Thursday from 10:30 to 11:30, right before lunch. And this was, it was a pretty good experience. What you could imagine in a chapel service, there would be some singing, there would be prayers, there would be a message of sorts. But I also learned that this is where the super Christians were at their best. Early on, one of the very first chapels, well, everybody's kind of getting to know each other in a scenario very much like this. We're at chapel, and like by the second or third song, this guy, and he was a rather tall guy, like 6'2", 6'3", he makes his way and comes down right to the middle as if he was almost directly in front of our communion table. And as worship is going on, he goes to his knees, outstretches his hands, closes his eyes, and he starts praying. Out loud, some of it I could understand, some of it I couldn't. I didn't know if he was talking in tongues or something like that. And I can't tell you exactly what his heart was. I didn't know the guy, I didn't know his name, never met him. But I'll tell you that the vibe was this. Hey, everybody, look at me. Look how spiritual I am. And it just had this really kind of icky vibe. And I think we've been in environments like that where you're just like Christians trying to impress and one-up each other is really kind of lame, right? And so some of this message is kind of for us to be like, hey, let's stop being lame. Let's seek authenticity first. The Lord's Prayer is a complete prayer. It embraces the needs of the whole world, from the coming of God's kingdom to our need for daily provision. It covers large needs and small needs, spiritual things and material things. Nothing is beyond the purview of this prayer. It covers everything. This is a prayer for the rich and the poor, the strong and the weak. It is spoken by children, elderly, and everyone in between. It is for the intelligent and the illiterate, the simple and the wise. This is a prayer for all people in all circumstances, in all times and seasons in life. The Paternoster, okay, the Lord's Prayer can be broken into three movements. Very simple, and it's right there in the scriptures, verses 11, 12, and 13. The three movements are this: give me, forgive me, and deliver me. Give me is us asking God for our daily bread, our daily provision. It is a request to have our material needs and provisions taken care of. It is asking God for everything necessary for the preservation of life. It's as if we are saying, Lord, give me what I need to survive and thrive today. Give me, Lord. The great reformer Martin Luther says this: to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Give me. The second is forgive me. Forgive me speaks to our spiritual needs. We, as we all know and confess, we are sinful, and our sin separates us from God and from one another, and we need forgiveness and reconciliation in this life. And in our receiving of forgiveness, we are then able to forgive others. In fact, Jesus teaches that our forgiveness is contingent upon our ability to forgive others. And that is extremely important for us to understand and embrace, that our forgiveness is contingent upon our ability to forgive others. Forgive me. Forgive those who have wronged me. And the third is this: deliver me. Deliver me is the rightful acknowledgement that we need help in this life. We will be tempted, tested, and face many trials in this life, as everyone in this room is a testimony to. And we are going to need help to overcome those challenges we face in life. The communion table that is set before us is the perfect expression of the movements of the Lord's Prayer. Every time we receive the bread and the cup, like we are going to do here in a few short moments, we are asking God to give, forgive, and deliver us. I love these words from Dallas Willard. Praying with frequency gives us the readiness to pray again as needed from moment to moment. The more we pray, the more we think to pray, and as we see the results of prayer, the responses of our Father to our requests, our confidence in God's power spills over into other areas of our life. Again, that very last image there of this spilling over, that oftentimes we go to the Lord with our needs, we present them to the Lord, and then as we allow God to work in that area, we see that God begins spilling over into other areas of our lives. Prayer begets more prayer. Prayer leads to seeing God at work in our lives. And once we begin to see it a little bit, we begin to see it more and more and more the more we pray. So I want to just close and bring the sermon to a close with this thought. The Lord's Prayer is also like a recipe with all the ingredients contained within it. Everything that we need for a robust prayer life is contained in Jesus's prayer. Well, the last couple of years, my son Connor and I have taken up an interest in cooking. He's taken the culinary arts class at Riverwood High School and has really been a fan of it. And it's kind of created some energy in our house where we're experimenting with different recipes, and we've been really into cooking barbecue and steaks and things like that. And we started following different chefs like Aaron Franklin and Adam Perry Lang on Instagram. We watch YouTube videos and we kind of geek out over this stuff. And then sometimes we find something that really kind of captures our attention, and then we go out to try to recreate what we've seen created, a recipe created by one of these master chefs. And sometimes we're successful and it comes out and it tastes great. But the real magic, the real secret sauce, is not just trying to duplicate the recipe exactly as it is, but it's taking all the ingredients that are there and provided for us, and then trying to do something special and unique with it, trying to do something that fits our own current needs. And so then we make something and we try it, and if it turns out great, we celebrate, and it's awesome. Well, I think that the Lord's Prayer is very similar to this. The Lord's Prayer is both a recipe and it is a list of prayer ingredients we needed for our prayer life. It can be recited word for word, and it can also be used as a model or a pattern for how we might pray. And so my encouragement for us, for you, is that you engage this prayer and allow it to speak to you in the way and in the places you need it the most. So I want to invite you to join with me for the rest of this season of Lent leading up to Easter, that you would engage and that you would begin to pray the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you pray it word for word exactly as it is seen in Scripture, or that you feel the openness to use it as a framework for your own prayer life. And so now, as we close and as we get ready to come to the communion table, I like to invite all of us to say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.